All right, let's start here this morning in Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. And notice verse 6. Now when Jesus was come, was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman, having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, poured it on his head, and he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? She hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, come to a passage here, Lord, a passage where there was some conflict between thy own disciples. And Father, there are some things to learn from this and a couple of other places. We pray this morning that you might be real in these things, Lord. If somebody here is unsaved, pray you'd help them to see their need for Jesus Christ. But Father, as we try to get our hearts prepared for revival meetings coming up this coming week, we look to thee and ask that you to speak to each of us here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, to begin here, just think about the fact that, you know, all the apostles, the writers of the New Testament, were constantly at work trying to keep doctrine pure. Paul said some things about that many times. Peter, of course, said things about it many times. Paul said, listen, there are going to be grievous wolves that enter in from among you, and it says that they are not going to not spare the flock. They're going to speak unto you perverse things. He says, look, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Peter said, look, there's going to be somebody come in, they're going to teach damnable heresies, and many shall follow. Jude says, earnestly contend for the faith, once delivered unto the saints. Paul said, listen, I have fought lions and dogs, and I don't think he was talking about chihuahuas and African lions. My point in saying all this, folks, is that I was thinking about it, and today, great stress is laid, not in our group, but most of Christianity, great stress is laid on ecumenicism, or ecumenism, depending on how you prefer to have it pronounced. Great stress is laid on unity and common ideals and diversity and making sure that we're equally tolerant of various aspects of social and cultural and moral and amoral issues. Much of the church has now been compromised over homosexuality issues, over where Islam fits into the world, that sort of thing. My point in saying all this, folks, is that this is just the manifestation today. The fact of the matter is, it's very little appreciated that we talked about it this morning in Sunday school, that you know, almost immediately, it wasn't just the Christians against the world, but many times Christians against other people that call themselves Christians. It's very little appreciated that from the very beginning, the gospel, the Word of God, was a very divisive issue, and folks from the beginning did not understand and did not agree on things in it. My point is simply that what you could call a Christian, civil war broke out from the very beginning. There were guys trying to amalgamate philosophy with the gospel and such. Many of those guys' names we know and so on. But look, folks, this is not due to anything that's wrong with the gospel or the Bible. Nothing's wrong with the Holy Spirit. Nothing's wrong with God. Nothing's wrong with your Savior. It boils down to the devil. It also boils down to a very real fact that all of us live in. And now, I'm not going to be talking about full-blown heresy this morning, but look, those disciples, for 3.5 years, sat across from the same fire as Jesus Christ night after night after night. They conversed, they talked, they ate, presumably slept around the same fire, all those things. They walked each day with Him, ministered to folks each day with Him. And the fact of the matter is, some of those guys began to settle back on their lees. Now, what I mean by that is, that's an old wine thing, but what I mean by that is that from the beginning, Christianity was supposed to be this hot thing. And Paul and Peter tried to keep the fire stoked and the zeal high among Christians. They tried to make the love of God and the love for God real to folks so that it would keep burning hot and burning brightly. Fact of the matter is, they ran into the same thing that any other thing runs into. We men and women, when we first receive something, it's so very cool. Think about those priests in the Old Testament. First time they received the orders of the tabernacle and how those first few days where they were actually putting on those robes for the first time, actually walking through that first entryway out into the outer altar, the altar of burnt offering, the brazen laver and so on. How very real all those ordinances must have been to them. And how for those few that actually entered into the tabernacle itself and ministered there amongst the bread and the altar of incense and the candlestick and those that ministered to that. And then finally, the great high priest that once a year got to go into the very holy of holies and make sacrifice there. My point is, for the first, what, week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months, that must have all seemed very holy, very sacred. It must have meant a lot to those guys that first stuck a knife in a sheep and slayed it and put the right offerings from his innards in the right order upon the burnt offering. But think about doing that week after week and year after year and how after a while, by the time you get down to Eli's day, you had two of the sons that were committing adultery with the women that stood at the gate, right? And it just becomes a... There's a problem with things becoming routine for us. We're a Bible-believing church. We do our very best to rightly divide the Bible. We have revival meetings to try to keep the fire stoked and the saints stirred, right? At the very best, we all labor with something. That is the fact that certain things, no matter how holy they are, fall into routine. I mean, you get under conviction about prayer and you say, prayer can make a difference in my life. I'm going to start Monday morning, and I mean, I am going to pray as I've never prayed. And the first 2 or 3 days, perhaps that goes well. But you know as well as I do, most of you that have been in this battle for a while, that experience eventually, probably not too long down the road, becomes a rather routine thing. And when you settle back into that routine, you become a little more comfortable and you just ease back into the cushions a little bit and snuggle down and you find a place, you know, where, I don't know, if comfortable is not the right word in a Bible-believing church, it's the fact that you figure out a way to accommodate some of your slothfulness. I mean, you want to be right, you want to be true, and you want Christ to be real, but the slothfulness is still there. You still figure out a way to accommodate certain ambitious designs of your own. Maybe it's nothing more than you really enjoy coming here more for your friends that are here, say, than for the actual preaching and teaching itself. My point in saying all this, folks, is that you need to understand that very thing happened to those people that walked and talked with Jesus Christ every single day. And, of course, after Jesus Christ left, here we are 2,000 years later, and we've all here walked by faith and not by sight for our entire lives. I don't know about you, I have never seen a thing. I mean, I know I've seen a thing, I've experienced a thing or two, but as far as seeing the exact things the Bible talks about, seeing visions, I've seen nothing. I've walked by faith my entire life. Now, I'm getting around to this. I started out by saying, you know, Paul, Peter, Jude, those guys labored to keep the fires hot. What stands in the way of keeping the fires hot sometimes is just getting accustomed to things and just easing back into it. I said, you know, the disciples themselves did that. I want to give you an illustration of that this morning. Actually, three illustrations. Here are the disciples. They are literally getting up every morning and, you know, taking their little bath or whatever they do, and Jesus Christ is right with them there. They brush their teeth. Jesus Christ is right with them there. They walk with Him all day. They talk with Him physically all day. They have breakfast together. They have lunch together. Whatever they all do together. And still, in the very midst of walking side by side with Jesus Christ, eventually what came to a head between them was, who shall be the greatest? They fought and argued about that for a while. Mom comes up and says, these are my two fine sons, Lord. How about this one sit on your right hand and this one on your left hand? And then there's a little bit of an issue because Mom wanted that to happen for her sons. Is that right? Think about, here are these guys and say, look, Lord, it's really good walking with you. Hey, can we call fire down from heaven? I think it'd be really cool if I could do that. You know, my point is, there were times that these things became an issue between even the Lord's disciples themselves. Now, the title of this message is Keeping Perspective, okay? Because here are these guys, and again, I can't emphasize enough, they are walking, talking, living physically with Jesus Christ day in and day out. And they still were able, after a period of months, able to fall back and in the presence of Jesus Christ still argue about who would be greatest among them. About whether they would, who would sit on the right hand, who would sit on the left. About, boy, it's really fun, it would be really fun to be able to call fire down from here. Here's Demas. Demas walks with Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles. And his problem was this present evil world, right? You just have occasion after occasion of this. And there are three occasions I would point you to this morning. On each of these occasions, the disciples, the apostles, get upset with one among their number for something. And what I'm trying to reflect here is the apostles themselves, in the very presence of Jesus Christ, settled back on their lees, became accustomed to the routine, to the extent that when somebody actually got a clear handle on the simplicity and the very heart of what they were supposed to do, they balled up on them like a herd of cats. Now, I want to show you that here in this passage, for instance. You have, and by the way, that not only do these occasions have in common, that the disciples kind of got upset with other disciples, but also the fact that the two disciples that were on the receiving end of this were both named Mary. First of all, this is Mary of Bethany. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 6, you see them in the house of Simon the leper. This is in Bethany, it says there. If you go to John 12, you can also find it in Mark as well. But this winds up being Mary of Bethany. That is Martha and Lazarus' sister that does this breaking of this alabaster box. So this is Mary of Bethany, Lazarus and Martha's sister. Look in verse 7. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, poured it on his head and as he sat at meat. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Now, the theme here this morning, folks, is that a lot of you came to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, some of you years ago, some of you many years ago, and it was great, because you suddenly were getting taught things that you'd never heard. And you, in fact, some of you were just getting taught for the first time, period, because the last place you were at didn't teach anything. And so you got on the street and you started witnessing and you started trying to win your family and you started praying and you started reading your Bible on your own and that sort of thing, getting stuff on your own. I know what happens. I've been saved for 40 plus years. under the best of circumstances, you get into a routine. And the unmitigated joy you used to feel at coming to church and getting fed for the first time becomes something less than just unmitigated joy. It can grow a little dutiful, and you still like being here, and you enjoy things, and you still like the Word of God. You love preaching and all that kind of stuff. But if you're not careful, you still fall into routine. And what happens when you fall into routine? You have to kick yourself out of routine because it grows stale. Let me show you this. Here is Lazarus and Martha and Mary of Bethany. They are in the house of Simon the leper. We know from John 12 that this woman is actually Mary. She comes, breaks an alabaster box of ointment on Jesus Christ's head, then apparently moves to his feet and wipes those feet with her hair. These disciples, it says in verse 8, they had indignation. They were mad. They had strong feelings. They apparently had very strong convictions about things that Christ had said about the poor. They took as very important their role in trying to distribute and minister to the poor, and so much so they were indignant with Mary of Bethany, one of the disciples, one of the beloved disciples, right? They were upset with Mary of Bethany for doing this thing. They had indignation. In Mark chapter 15, it says they murmured against her. They said bad things about her. Here are the very disciples of the Lord walking with Him, talking with Him every day, and they ball up on this woman who has taken all that she had and spread the ointment on Christ's head and on Christ's feet. Okay? And their theme was, to what purpose, it says, to what purpose is this waste? Here is Jesus Christ with disputation in the very ranks of His innermost fellowship, His very disciples, and their next ring out, their very close friends. To what purpose, it says, is this waste? Down in verse 8. To what purpose is this waste? I bet that some of you have faced questions like that from some of your family and some of your friends. I mean, after all, first of all, you left Mama's church. You may never be forgiven for that. Right? You left Mama's church. If you didn't throw away your career of what you were doing before, I bet you made some accommodation for your job, that sort of thing. And besides all that, they happen to know, perhaps, that you give, a few $100 a month to that church. Why? When you got, quote-unquote, saved and baptized in that church, why, it may be that now you don't even let your kids dress up like witches on Halloween. I mean, what a horrible thing. What a terrible, terrible thing. Point is, they think, many of them, that what you're doing is a waste. You come here at least 3 hours on Sunday. You come another hour and a half or 2 hours on Wednesday night. Besides that, when we have special meetings, you'll show up right to church 5 or 6 nights in a row. What a waste to this world, right? To what purpose? To what purpose is this waste? Well, I point out to you that this was a waste. The guys that said this were apostles. They were disciples. They say, what's this waste for? Here's this woman doing what she had to do. And the very disciples themselves says, this is a waste. The very most spiritual men around except for Christ, this is a waste, right? What purpose? To what purpose is this waste? They asked about purpose. So my first point is the purpose. I'm telling you, you can fall into routine. You can fall into routine reading your Bible, praying, loving God, trying to raise your family, right? You show up to visitation, you show up to prayer meeting at 5:30, that sort of thing. You can fall into routine, and in the midst of that routine, you lose track of the purpose. These guys were walking, talking, living with Jesus Christ, day in and day out. If surely, I think, if I could physically walk daily, talk daily with Jesus Christ right there, me looking in His brown eyes, Him looking in my blue eyes, surely, it wouldn't get routine then. But it does. These guys, it got routine for them. And they said, to what is this purpose? Let me tell you about the purpose. The purpose. Here is Mary. She busts this alabaster box of ointment, winds up at His feet, washing His feet with her hair. Let me tell you what the purpose is. It's not about the poor. The purpose is giving Jesus Christ everything that you've got. This woman, took this very expensive ointment, enough to feed a third world country. She gave this alabaster box of ointment, not to make money, but she broke it over His head, never to be used again, broke it over His feet, never to be used again, wiped it up with her hair, never to be used again. It was, to them, a waste. To her and to Christ, it was not a waste, because it represented something very important. It represented giving everything that you have to Jesus Christ. It means that nothing of any value is more important than your fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, that purpose, folks, is the purpose. It says there, to what purpose, verse 8, is this waste? That purpose is still the purpose. Your purpose in life is not just making visitation every Saturday for the next 52 Saturdays in a row. That may be a part, but that's not the purpose. Thank God for everybody that is faithful on visitation. Thank God that's for everybody that's faithful going street preaching. Thank God for everybody that's faithful doing whatever you do. Thank you for giving. Thank you for praying. Thank you for having prayer requests, for honoring prayer requests, for taking a prayer list home and doing something with it. Thank you. But if you're not careful, in the midst of the routine and the faithfulness, if you're not careful, you can lose the purpose. Here are these very apostles of Jesus Christ, and they're balled up on Mary of Bethany like cats on a rat, and he virtually has to pull them off of her. What's the deal there? It got routine. They lost perspective in their routine. In walking and talking with Jesus Christ every day, they lost perspective and did not realize that what she was doing was the simplicity of everything and the most important thing anybody could do, which was to give everything to Him. That nothing should fall between her and fellowship with Him. Right? We're headed into revival preaching anyway on Wednesday night. I wonder about your perspective. I wonder about mine sometimes. I'll tell you what, folks, in the process of getting ready for preaching and teaching, for getting ready for Bible study on Wednesday night, getting ready for Bible Institute, I tell you what, sometimes I catch myself at my desk going, not saying, boy, this is glorious. I'm serving Jesus Christ. I'm teaching 4 hours of Bible Institute. It is great. What an honor. I catch myself going, right? Now look, it's the most common human failing in the world. Come into contact with something pure and something holy, something that should not, the new should not wear off, but it does. And those are facts. Now look, folks, you're going to catch flack if you fulfill the purpose. The purpose is that you give everything to Jesus Christ. The purpose is that nothing comes between you and the most fervent fellowship with Jesus Christ. If you want to be revived in something, be revived there. Right? You notice that this started with, we're not going to read all the passages, this started with Judas and spread. Judas says, he carried a bag, John 12. He was the treasurer, and he didn't like the fact that the amount of money that could have been in his bag now was in the hair and on the feet of Jesus Christ and of this woman. He would rather have had the money in his bag. He had ulterior motives. Okay, now look. There are some very fine brethren that you love and that love you. They do not mean you harm. Now, I know who Judas was, and he did mean harm. Okay? There are some brethren here, you know, your brothers in Christ, they do not mean you harm. But when they want to pull you away from doing the most important thing you could be doing, you got to say, I appreciate the invite, but no thanks. I got something else to do. Okay? I got to make sure Jesus Christ is getting my all. Right? I mean, some of your families are upset with you because they have a family reunion or a birthday party on a Sunday afternoon. And then when you decide that you need to leave at 5:30 to make it to church this night, they're upset with you. Okay? You have to say, look, you may be a Christian. I appreciate you being a Christian, but I have a more important thing I need to do now than to remain at the birthday party and put on the hat and go, okay? I want to be at church where I can worship my Savior so nothing comes between me and Him. That is the purpose. They complained about it. To what purpose is this waste? To this purpose. And it's not a waste. I would have you notice in this passage, by the way, that their issue was that this money should have been given to the poor. The poor is a noble cause, but it's a secondary cause. It's not more important than Jesus Christ. These disciples weren't wanting Mary of Bethany to do something wrong. They weren't asking her to go out and sell herself on the street for something. They didn't want her, they weren't asking her to do that. They wanted her to do what they wanted her to do because it was a good thing and it was a proper thing. Christ made emphasis on the poor and ministering to the poor. That's true. But it's not more important than giving Him everything that you've got. It's not more important. The purpose is your fellowship with God. The reason that you got saved was so God could have fellowship with you in eternity. Okay? You need to start now. That purpose is that you give Christ everything that you've got. That you make that fellowship as real as you can possibly make it. And don't let anything or anybody come between you and it. Now there's something else I wanted to show you. Look, go back to Luke 10. There are three different occurrences of this where the disciples get mad at their own for doing something, and the disciple that was doing something actually had a handle on something they did not. The first thing was the purpose. And they balled up on Mary for, you know, why are you doing this? Because I want to give Jesus Christ everything. There is nothing too good for Him. Right? Now, in this case, you have a little bit different scenario. Look in Luke 10. Go down to verse 38. Luke 10. And notice verse 38, a very famous, you know, passage. I preached on it many times. A little bit different context, I suppose. Verse 38. This is Mary again. This is Mary of Bethany now the second time. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Okay? The purpose is to give Jesus Christ everything you got. Now, in this case, Jesus says, listen, Mary hath chosen that good part. Now, this is about the part. Martha is entertaining at her house. The scene is familiar to many of us men. I go to my wife on Sunday night and say, honey, I invited the Smiths over for something to eat after church without telling her first. There's an immediate panic look that crosses her face. We then have to rush home in front of the Smiths to make sure that she can throw the dishes in the dishwasher and shove a few things under the couch and get the kids to sweep up real fast, because her house is just a mess and I've thrown her into this tremendous trauma. Right? Martha is scrambling around, and the kitchen is one big ball of steam, and part of that steam in time is coming out of her ears, because she's in there working her fingers to the bone, cooking and everything. And Mary, as you well know, is sitting, verse 39, at Jesus' feet and heard His word. In a little while, Martha is fed up with sister. She's as fed up as she can possibly be. She flounces out into the living room and shoots a look at Mary that would drop a Cape Buffalo at 75 feet. And turns to the Lord and says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister is sitting out here on her big rump talking to you, and she should be in here helping me. Make her help me." Right? That's what happened. He said, "Listen." He said, "Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Now, folks, here is old Mary. She's out again. She's on the outs with another disciple, this time her sister. Again, these are disciples. These are good friends of Jesus Christ. She's on the outs once again with a disciple because of what she's doing with the Lord. In the first case, it was the purpose. She gave everything she had. There was very little else that she could have ever given Jesus Christ besides the most important, the most expensive ointment that she had. She gave Him all that she had. Nothing came between her, not even the opinions of the brethren. Nothing came between her and fellowship with Him. Okay? In this case, said, "I am not going to take her part away." What was her part? Her part, in verse 39, was sitting at His feet and hearing the word. Now, folks, there is more power to sitting and hearing sometimes than you realize. Okay? It is easy for church to be routine because it is a routine. I routinely study for Wednesday night service on Tuesday, and then study it again on Wednesday, and then come, and then I study Wednesday and Thursday for Thursday night. Then I start studying hard on Friday and Saturday for Sunday, all three services. It becomes a routine. You know, we get out of church tonight at, you know, whatever, 8 o'clock or whatever, whenever we're done, and I'll go home all relieved and go to bed and get up in the morning. It's my day off, and I'll do as little as possible, and then it's Tuesday, and then the routine just goes on and on. Church by nature becomes routine. Hearing preaching by nature becomes routine. Don't forget that sitting and hearing is one of the very most important things that you do, and that it deserves some preparation. It deserves that you should spend some time preparing yourself and being prepared when you hear something you don't want to hear to actually do something about it, even though you don't like it. Right? The purpose was that Mary did not waste that alabaster box of ointment. Mary gave it, sacrificed it, if you would, to Jesus Christ. There is nothing too good for Jesus Christ. You cannot give too much to Jesus Christ. It's easy to fall into routine and forget that the most important thing that you have is your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's easy to forget a part, and the part is sitting and hearing. When, you know, I find that I am seated in heavenly places in Christ, right? I find a maniac of Gadara sitting clothed in his right mind. So sitting is not a bad thing. I'm not advocating indolence. I'm not advocating slothfulness. We all know that you're supposed to be doers of the word as well as hearers. But listen, folks, when you sit and hear, you are preparing yourself to go and do. And the fact of the matter is, we get very routine and very flippant sometimes about hearing the Word of God. I'm not just trying to jack up attendance for the revival meetings coming up. I'm not. I'm trying to make you understand that there are some occasions that the disciples fought among themselves over something. Jesus Christ, in Mary's case, took up for her twice in this matter because she was the one that still had the right perspective on this stuff, and everybody else had kind of lost it. What purpose is this wave? Good grief, we could have done something better with it. What's with this woman anyway? She's just trying to show off. She just wants to be near him. She just wants to touch him. Just went on and on and on. Here's Martha, all mad at Mary. Why can't you make her come and help me, you lazy bum? Get off your rear end and get in here and help me with these biscuits. And Jesus Christ stepped in for the second time and says, listen, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. You know the part that I like? First of all, would you notice verse 42? That part, this part, sitting and hearing, it's not just wantful. It's needful. You need it. When you first got hot for the Lord Jesus Christ, when you first got saved or first got right, chances are probably pretty good that you were excited and you couldn't wait to get back under a ministry of the Word of God, back to hearing, right? I wonder if it's still that way for you. After 40 years for me, after 20 years for some of you, after 30 years for some of you, after 5 years for some of you, look, the part is needful. Sitting and hearing His Word is needful. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need that. I'm not just trying to jack up attendance. I'm saying it is a needful part that easily falls into routine. When it falls into routine, it's easy to, skip a day here or there just because you feel like it. Right? Right, Brother Stevens, that's really good preaching. Yes, sir. The really cool part about this, though, is that here is Martha just stewing. She's got hair flowing everywhere. She's sweating like a horse. And she is mad as a wet cat. She is mad. And the Lord says, listen, Mary's chosen the right part. And as long as she wants to sit here and talk to me, I'm not going to take that part away from her. I like the part that if you will take heart with the part, sitting and hearing, He'll let you sit and hear for as long as you'll listen. He's not going to take it away from you. Think about that. He wants fellowship with you. He wants to talk to you. If your routine has lost track of the fact that Jesus Christ wants you at His feet listening, something needs to change with your routine. It does, yes, sir. It does. Look at something else, Luke 24. Now, where this breaks a little bit is that this now is a different Mary. The first two were Mary of Bethany, Lazarus, and Martha's sister. This is a different Mary, I will grant you. Luke 24. And notice verse 9. This is, of course, the resurrection of Christ. He is risen from the dead, returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. So there's Marys everywhere in the Bible. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's Mary of Bethany. There's Mary Magdalene. And now you have yet another Mary, Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. They come from the sepulchre, Christ is risen. The women run in, and verse 11, and their words seem to them, to the apostles, as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now again, these apostles, these men are men that had lived, walked, and talked, shared meals, conversed, dialogued with Jesus Christ. They've been taught mouth to mouth and face to face all these things, straight from Jesus Christ. And these women come, and you would think that, you know, we know from our reading our Bibles that they didn't get it, and we know why they didn't get it, but you would think that they would welcome somebody saying, "We've been there. He's risen. He's not there. In fact, we saw it." You would think that they would go, "Really? Let's go see." Instead, it says there in verse 11, their words seemed to them as idle tales. Now, later in Mark, the Lord Jesus Christ actually upbraids, chode with them, bawled them out, chode with the disciples for not believing these women that came to them and told them this truth, right? Look, these idle tales, verse 11, these idle tales were the story. The story. We were talking about the purpose and the part. Well, this is the story. These disciples received them as idle tales. They walk away murmuring, going, "Man, you know, I get so tired sometimes of these women. If they don't have something worthwhile to talk about, they go make something up. Why is it that a woman just can't abide with the truth? Why does she always have to gossip and make up stories and bring us this nonsense? They already know that we're upset. We have important things to do. We have to go sit and fret and worry about why our Savior didn't do for us what we thought He was going to do. We got to go fret and think about that." And they bring this tale of Him being risen. What's wrong with these stupid women? Thank you very much. But it's the story, folks. The events of those last 4 days blew their minds. They forgot all He'd said. They didn't even realize that He had said that He would rise from the dead. They had forgotten about it, lost in all the details. My point, folks, is that you can hear the story over and over again. And if you're not careful, it slips past you. Okay? How often have you experienced getting yourself into a bind somewhere and not having the answer and not knowing the answer and finally going to a Bible passage that you knew from heart? And in that passage was the answer. How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. It happens the same way you stand and sing songs, by routine. The words come out your mouth and not out your heart at all. You can cite passages that have the greatest, most fundamental, eternal truths in this world, in this universe. And if you're not careful, you don't apprehend them because they're just part of the routine. You memorized the verse as a kid when you were in Sunday school. You've still got the verse tucked away, but it has no power in your life because it doesn't mean anything to you. Look, this is the story. Those idle tales that they were accused of carrying about and bearing, they were the story. There are only three places in the Word of God where the disciples turned on their own quite like this. One was Mary with the ointment. For what purpose is this waste? The purpose. Jesus Christ deserves everything that you've got. Right? Why is Mary sitting here on her tail end while I'm in here working? Make her come help me. Mary's chosen the right part. What is that part? Sitting and hearing. See, folks, it's not all about dispensations and rightly dividing and ins and outs and how we know that the seven reasons we know that the rapture is pre-trib and all this kind of stuff. Sometimes it's about something far more simple than that. Just the basics. Nothing's too good for Jesus Christ. You can't give Him too much. You can't sit and hear enough. There's real power in sitting and hearing. And by the way, you have the real story. These folks come back with us the story. The story of a resurrected Savior. Okay? Now, we always relate that to witnessing, and that's the right witness. I'm not witnessing of a Savior that came and died as a man and can help me get to heaven. I'm witnessing of a Savior that died for my sins, rose from the dead, and is the only way to heaven. Right? But it's not just that. It is also the fact that you now, again, live in a day where Christianity is very worldly. Christianity is very corrupt. Christianity is very polluted. And there are folks that may or may not be saved, but as it really is, there is no resurrection power in their lives. They live pretty much like the world. They view things pretty much like the world. They listen to the news, come out with a political worldview like the world. They don't read their Bible. They sometimes read books about the Bible. But as far as the Word of God having any real import in their lives, as far as the resurrection of Jesus Christ having made them a new creature, having import in their lives, there's just not much. So listen, folks, you need the witness of the resurrection in your own life, not just for lost folks, but for saved folks too. How often have I heard somebody, you know, a Christian being encouraged by somebody standing on the street corner and preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And that's the point. Look, you can fall into routine. These disciples, living, walking, talking with a living Savior, fell enough into the routine of things. This thing became mundane enough for them that when somebody, I'm of their number, Mary of Bethany twice, this Mary Magdalene once, that when they really got the handle on something, boy, that there is nothing too much that I can give to Jesus Christ. There is no fellowship that I should have before Him. I should not be concerned about what other people think before Him. Any part that I have, the most important thing I can do is sit at His feet and hear His Word and spread a story, the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Each time, these very disciples whom Christ had lived with and among for all this time turned on those two women like cats on a rat. Okay? Why? Because they got used to it. It just wasn't to them what it should have been. And folks, what we're trying to revive, the spirit we're trying to revive in a revival service is the simple things. Get back to serving Jesus Christ with your whole heart. You cannot give Him too much. Get back to really sitting and resting and really hearing what He says. Right? And go back out and not just spread the gospel to the lost. That's very important. But also, the resurrection should be real in your life for the Christians around you as well. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, common things that we have heard before probably. There's no new doctrine here this morning, Lord. Most heart-changing things in the Christian life are not necessarily new doctrine to Christians. It does revolve around getting a handle on the very most simplistic things. I pray You'd make these things real to us, Lord. The disciples, as good a men as they were, and there were many good men there, and You went on and used many of them in a greater way than You'll ever use me, for sure. But some of these very men turned on some of their number because those of that number actually got a handle on something that they themselves had lost. It fell back into routine. It fell back into ritual. And it wasn't as real to them as it was to these two Marys. Father, may You give us these Marys' spirit, their sense of having gotten a hold of things, and make these things they got a hold of real to us all here. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 446, let's stand. 446. 446. about what you heard this morning, and I can tell you this, I am among the very worst in this world. I've fallen back into routine. I don't consider myself an exception in this at all. My life is very routine for the most part, except when disaster strikes. But teaching and preaching, so many services to prepare for on Sunday, so many services to prepare for on Wednesday and on Thursday and such. And I'm ashamed to say there are times that I don't have much of a sense of the holy and of the saints in preparing for those things. I bet it's the same for you. I know how life wears you down. I know how paying bills and a job and kids and washing dishes and washing clothes and fixing cars and stuff wears on you. In the meantime, you can't forget the treasure that you have in these earthen vessels. Lord Jesus Christ has appointed you an ambassador in this life. You have the purpose in life. Everybody else is seeking for a way to live, a reason to live. You have the purpose in life. Your purpose, easily summed up, is getting as close to Jesus Christ as you can and staying there at His feet and hearing His Word. And it being real enough to you that it changes your life, and you go out and witness and try to change somebody else's life with a resurrected Savior. Your Savior's not dead. He's not in the grave. He's alive. Remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for just a second. If there's anybody that needs to come, feel free. Number 446 again. Let's sing the second stanza. Morning. We've been here for a couple hours and had the Word of God preached to us. Father, it's appealed to our hearts. We trust the Holy Spirit has made that appeal in each and every conscience here. Pray, Father, that would be real to us. We need to be, Father, driven and reduced to a seeking Thy face, much like Mary of Bethany did and Mary Magdalene did. Pray and make these things real to us this morning. Father, help us not forget our purpose and our part. Much less should we forget the story. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everybody. We'll see you back at 5:30 for prayer meeting, Lord willing. Otherwise, 6 o'clock for service.